Sit down and God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your amen responding means a lot to me. I say hallelujah. No matter whatever that is going on in the country, the Bible says, say to the righteous, it shall be what? It shall be what? Tell your neighbor, it shall be well with you. I want once again to appreciate the authority for giving me this privilege to speak to the children of God this morning. I am very grateful. I am very happy because there are some places, there are some churches where that will not permit people like us, you know, to minister. There are some churches you will go, the only person you see ministering is the GO. But here in Bride Assembly, even when the overseer is not around, his absence is not being felt. You are not appreciating God by clapping your hands. Yes. His absence is not being felt because he has made us to understand that this church is not his church. That this church is the church of Christ. And the church of Christ, the Bible said, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The absence of our pastor, the absence of whoever here will not make the presence of God not to flow. Hallelujah. Once again, appreciate God for that privilege. It is a privilege. Praise God. I would love you to pay attention. We have something very serious by the special grace of God to look at this morning. And I would love you to open your spiritual ears, open your spiritual eyes, and try to open your heart to receive. Praise God. This morning, let's have the topic. This morning, we are looking at the topic that I titled, The Danger of Woman's Wisdom in the Pulpit. The Danger of Woman's Wisdom in the Pulpit. In brackets, we are seeing a call back to God's voice. Once again, can you say thank you, Lord Jesus? Let's go through our scripture. Let's take a scripture. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, and when Jesus came into the coast of the Philip, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember, we are talking about the danger of woman's wisdom in the pulpit. So we have some key words to look at. We are looking at woman, we are looking at wisdom, and we are looking at pulpits. These are the three key words, or the three major key words in that topic. Or I can go further by including the danger, the humans, the wisdom, and the pulpits. Now, beginning from the word pulpits, there are so many of us seated here this morning who will look at themselves and say, this topic does not concern me. Because from the time I started this church till now, I have not been given opportunity to hold mic to preach or to teach in the pulpit. So the topic has nothing to do with me. No. This topic has to do with everyone who has something to supply in the body of Christ. Now, in the body of Christ, once you come to Christ, once you give your life to Jesus, automatically, he has given you his spirit. And the evidence that you have come to him is that his spirit has come in you. And once that spirit of God comes in you, automatically, He does not come with nothing. He comes with a gift. The Spirit of God in the life of every Christian comes with a gift. So which means that no Christian, no born-again Christian is a non-entity. No born-again Christian is a nuisance. No born-again Christian is without nothing. Once you come to the body of Christ, you absolutely have something to supply. And because you have something to supply, at that point where you are to supply or where you are to function or where you are to exercise the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given to you, that point is your pulpit. You didn't get me. So pulpit is not limited to this place. Praise God. Pulpit is not limited to this place. Anywhere can be pulpit. A pulpit is a place where the spiritual gift is being exercised. So which means that I can be in outside, okay, and in that outside, I can decide to what? To carry out my spiritual gifts. At that point, I'm carrying out my spiritual gifts. I am in my pulpit. I am in my office. And in that my office, I'm expected never to apply the wisdom of man, but to apply the heavenly wisdom. Praise God. I say praise God. So this is physical pulpits. So anywhere I go, I am a carrier of pulpits. Oh, you didn't get me. I am a carrier of pulpits. When I'm in my village, I am a carrier of pulpits. Anywhere I find myself, I am a carrier of pulpits. So pulpit is not limited to a place. It can be anywhere as long as you are doing what the Lord has instructed you to do. Praise God. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Now let's go back to that scripture. Let's go back to that scripture. Matthew chapter 16. Now verse 14. We have read verse 13. Verse 14, quickly. And they said, some said that thou art John the Baptist. Some said thou art Elias. And others said Jeremiah. And one of them said were the prophets. Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So Christ come to a point where people are confused on whom he is. So they were calling him different names. They were calling, some say he's Elijah, some say he's Prophet Jeremiah, some, they were calling him different names. So he come to a point where he summoned his disciples. And at that point, he summoned his disciples, he asked them, you that have been following me, you that have been with me, I believe you have heard what people are saying about me, but you, are you going to be part of them that are saying I'm Elijah? Then they ask them, who do you say I am? Praise God. Now, look at the next verse. Now, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered. Take note of this. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ. The what? The Son of the living God. Verse 16. Look at the statement of Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. Now, why would Jesus say, blessed art thou? Because Peter gave him what? Nothing but the right answer. And the answer which Peter gave him was beyond the earthly answer. The answer which Peter gave him has nothing to do with earthly. The answer which Peter gave him was the answer that moved from the earthly realm to a heavenly realm. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, Simon Barjona. He said, for flesh and blood has what? Has not revealed it unto thee, but what? But my Father which is in heaven. Praise God. I say praise God. So how did the Peter get to know that this is Jesus? It was, although you are seeing Peter, or he was seeing Peter physically, but what Peter exercised, or the statement of Peter, or Peter's response was not from Peter, it was from above. And Christ was able to recognize it. So as Christians, we are to move from the earthly wisdom to heavenly wisdom. And this heavenly wisdom comes from above. It has nothing to do with what? With earthly wisdom. But it's unfortunate that Christians or believers or ministers are so much included with the wisdom of men instead of the wisdom that comes from above. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. I'm trying to give some instances. Luke chapter 1, verse 24. Luke 1:24. Now look at what he says. And those days, his wife Elizabeth did what? Conceived. And what? And hid herself 5 months, saying, okay, go back to verse 16, or go back to verse 13. Let's see what verse 13 says. Verse 13, please. But the angel, okay, please, pardon me, let's start from verse 9. I want us to get a picture there. Verse 9. And according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to perform incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, take note, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto what? Unto him, what? Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer. So which means that Zechariah has been praying. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall what? Shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Well, I'm going to somewhere. Now, the angel did not stop there. The angel went further to explain to Zechariah the office of this son coming. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his what? At his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Go on. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to what? To the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom out of the just, to make ready a people prepare for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, children of God, I don't know they are following me. And what? And Zechariah said unto the angel, this is the problem of Christians. This is the problem of ministers of God. This is the problem of pastors all over the world. Now look at the problem. He said, whereby shall what? Shall I know this? For I am what? For I am old man, and my wife wears three. Hallelujah. Can I ask somebody a question? Please give somebody a mic. Please follow me quickly. Give somebody, you can give Rabenga or Brachibzo. I want to ask you a very simple question. Okay, now, Rabenga, please help me out. Now, the complaint Zechariah gave the angel was, the angel aware that Zechariah is old and his wife is old?
Yes, sir.
The angel is aware?
Yes, sir.
Now, before the angel came with a message, was God himself aware that Zechariah is old and his wife is old?
Yes, sir.
So what is now the problem of Zechariah? What
Lack
is his problem?
Faith.
The
Lack
problem of Zechariah is application of human wisdom. What is the human wisdom? He was looking at the sight. Sin and God bless you. So Zechariah was looking at the sight. And that is our problem. we intend to apply our wisdom in dealing with God. See, the Bible says that as earth is higher than where, as heaven is higher than the earth, so what? So are his ways higher than our ways. So since God's way is higher than our ways, then as Christians, we are not to apply sight, but rather we are to apply faith. An application of faith is heavenly application of wisdom. Now, Zechariah went further. Let's get to that scripture. Let's read that scripture. Now, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old man, and my wife is what? Is well shrinking in years. The next verse. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be what? Oh, read that. Let's read that together. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not being able to what? To speak until the day that this thing shall be performed. Because because thou believest not my words, we shall be fulfilled in their season. The problem I see from Zechariah is that Zechariah intend to be deluded by human's wisdom. And that human wisdom is that by human wisdom, once you are 70 years as a man, once you are 50 years as a woman, you have gone beyond the menopause. At that point, your wife cannot give birth again. Unknown to Zechariah, by that wisdom, God, when he steps in, protocols are broken. Protocols are broken. See, pay attention to me carefully. Protocols are broken because in God's calendar, it's not the same thing as the calendar of men. In our calendar, the first month of the year is what? January. But in God's calendar, the first month of the year may be December. Oh, you are not getting me. So while you are looking at the January to receive the blessing, God is saying, no, January is not the first month in my calendar. In the first month of my calendar is December. So while you are counting forward, God is counting back. Praise God. I say praise God. Please give me Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 verse 14. Genesis 18:14. Now look at what I say. In thy time too, okay, what? Is it anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed what time, I will do what? I will return unto thee according to the time. Oh, you are not reading with me. He said, is it anything too hard for what? For the Lord. At the appointed time, what will happen? I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So there is an appointed time, and you in that appointed time, take your wisdom away. Allow the wisdom of God to be in play. Hallelujah. Give me Genesis. Genesis chapter 21, verse 2. Look at another scripture. Genesis 21, verse 2. He says something. Yeah. He said, for Sarah conceived. So Sarah conceived and bare Abraham what? A son. In what? In old age, at the same time of which God has spoken to him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. He says something. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, what did he say? He said what? Oh, that is not the scripture I'm looking for. I have missed that scripture. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. What did he say? He said what? He said, for we walk by what? Oh, you are not following me. For we walk by what? By faith, not by sight. The problem of ministers, the problem of Christians in this age is that we are too moved by sight. We are too carried away by sight. And that is the reason why we keep applying our own wisdom. We keep applying our own knowledge because why? We are looking at the side. If we remove sight, then the wisdom of God will come in play. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. Children of God, I say praise God. If you're happy this morning, celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. There is something we need to understand. That we live in age where the wisdom of men has taken over the church of Christ. We live in an age where people are doing everything possible to ensure that their wisdom is in play, even in the pulpits. Give me Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 verse 4. Look at what Genesis chapter 11 verse 4 says. I'm trying to lay a background. And what? And they said, go what? Go to, let us build us a what? A city and a tower where what? Who stop may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a what? A name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. This was the application of human's wisdom in play. They decided to what? To embark on a project. And what is that project? The project is how to build something from the earth that will reach heaven. To them, that was a project. But that project was based on the wisdom of men. You may not understand what I'm saying. We can see the picture in what is going on in our generation today. Where a pastor can decide to go and build a big auditorium. He is emphasizing on building a big auditorium. Listen to me. There is nothing wrong in building a big auditorium. There is nothing wrong at that. But I want you to know that 99% of these men of God that build a big auditorium is by the wisdom of men. Not the wisdom of God. Now to them, they are looking at the word. Who will be the what? Who will be the whose church or who will be the first to build the biggest what? The biggest church. That is the competition in play of the woman's wisdom. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. The best auditorium you can build is not the physical one. The best auditorium you can build is the auditorium of this body called the tabernacle of God. Praise God. Called the tabernacle of God. Because the Bible says that God is not a God that dwells in a place or in a building that is made with what? With hands. He dwells in a building that is what? That he himself has prepared for himself. That is the building where he lives. So God lives not in this building, but he lives inside me. So where should men of God apply the wisdom? Or where should they consecrate on? They should consecrate on not building auditorium, but building humans to come to the knowledge of whom Christ is. Because you may ask me, Teacher Uzo, is it not good for them to build a bigger place so that everybody will sit comfortably and all that? I agree with you. If it is only being permitted by God. But if it is not permitted by God, there is no point in venturing into it. Because when you venture into it, at that end, God will tell you, I have not sent you to build this, but I have sent you to build my people. So it is better to what? To be in a church where there is no fan, where there is no AC, and you are sweating, and at the end of the earth, what happens? You are being what? You are being glorified. Than to be in a bigger church built by human's wisdom, AC is there, condition is there, and at the end, you enter here. It will not be our portion. I say it will not be our portion. There are many displays of human's wisdom in the pulpits. Now, something gets birth to this topic. I was listening to a young man, and they were interviewing him. And as they were interviewing this young man, the young man said that he's a junior pastor. He called his senior pastor, and he said to his senior pastor, I have gotten a place to start my ministry. And the junior pastor told the senior pastor, please send some money to me.
help me with some money so that I can secure the place. And the senior pastor told him, give me some weeks. I will reply you. Children of God, lo and behold. You know what happened? After 2 weeks, the Lord spoke to the junior pastor, according to him, that go back to that place where you found a place to start up your ministry. When the young man got to that place, lo and behold, the senior pastor have started his own ministry in that place. Praise God. The senior pastor has started his own ministry in that place. And the young man said, woman's wisdom in the pulpit. That is why I got the message. Woman's wisdom. So to that senior pastor, he is doing everything possible to help God. You can't help God. You can't help God. By doing that, it is application of woman's wisdom. What do you want to do? That is why when they are growing older, they are doing everything possible to what? Imagine where I am 70 years old. Brother, you are 50 years old. 70 years old and 50 years old. Who's supposed to retire each other?
70 years old. 70
years I can't old. Hear you.
70 years old.
70 years old supposed to be retired, am I right? But 70 years old pastor is retiring 40 and 50 years old. That is the application of woman's wisdom in the pulpits. You see, that is why when we went to youth conference, I and another minister, we were discussing. See, this is the reason why the Church of Christ has become a business. It has become a family business. And the reason why it has become a family business is because these men of God, or these pastors, has what? They have gone far in what? In using church money to enrich themselves. And when they have enriched themselves too much, then when it is time, when they are growing old, they want to do everything possible to recruit their children into the ministry. Imagine where our pastor is the one that owns all these things. And as he's the one that owns all these things, and he knows that he's growing old, or he's the point of going to heaven, he will be thinking, I cannot leave this place for Pastor Olumide now. No, I can't leave the whole of this place for Pastor Olumide. I need to equip my son. And he will go and tell his son, you see, I'm about to leave the earth. I want you to take over the ministry. And the son said, no, daddy, I am born to be a doctor. I'm a doctor. I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be an engineer. I want to go to law school. I want to become a lawyer. And the daddy said, no, you are not born to be. In my family, we are called Levites. We are the Aarons, and you are the sons of Aarons. So I've been the sons of Aarons. Therefore, when I'm gone, you need to take over from me. So he would do everything by his own wisdom to convince his son to take over. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, it is not what you leave for your son that counts. It is what you leave in them. You do not understand me. There's a difference between for and in. Because what you leave for them, I am from Delta State. In the Delta State where I'm coming from, my father, my late father, has 7 acres of land. 7 acres. I am the first son. See, it doesn't, there is nothing I can do to bring land to bring that land to Lagos. Am I correct? But listen to me, children of God. It is not what you pastors leave for your children that matters. It is what you leave in them. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. What did he say? Luke 12, 15. He said what? And he said unto what? Unto them. Read it together. Take heed. And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possess. Meaning that when you live for them, they may not live to see it. Oh, you did not get me. When you live for them as a pastor, by your wisdom, they may not live to see it. So the best thing to do is to live in them. When you leave something in them, even when they're out of the country, that which you have lived in them remain in them. And they can use their mentality or whatever to become whom you have destined them to become. So it is not by doing everything possible to bring your son. It is okay if your son is what? Is being called by God. If your son is not being called by God and you are forcing your son into that ministry, you miss it. Appreciate God by clapping your hands. Oh, the generation we live is too deadly. You may say that what I'm talking about, pastors, what about among brethren? We see the application of human wisdom, even among brethren. Brother, I'm your leader. Every time you are giving me money, you are giving me money, okay? And I'm pastor, say, brother, I want somebody to take over from you. Who do you think my mind will go to? Oh, you are not talking to me. My mind will go to the brother who has been giving me money. But this brother is eligible. This brother is qualified. This brother has what it takes to take over from me. But because I am too deluded by the wisdom of men, instead of making this brother the next to me, I will make this brother because I know I'm receiving favor from him. That is human wisdom. I appreciate God once again. You may also say, this one does not concern me. Listen to me. I went to one restaurant. In that restaurant where I went to, you know, as I entered that restaurant, immediately, the Lord ministered to me. Say, son, that was about 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. I mean, 2,000 years or 3 years ago, rather. 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So the Lord said to me, son, do you know why this woman always put on bomber shorts? I said, Lord, I don't understand. He said, she put on this bomber short to attract customers. So you can see our ladies, they believe that by woman's wisdom, when they put on trousers, they will get husband. Oh, you're not getting me. They believe that by putting on your ring, by human's wisdom, they will get what they are looking for. You may put on this thing, get what you are looking for, but unknown to you, that what you got is not what God has ordained for you. So we need to come to a state, we need to come to a level where we eradicate, eliminate the wisdom of men in dealing with God. Because the Bible says something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Look at verse 1. And lo, brethren, when I come to you, I came not with the excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Go further, firstly. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was what? Was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? And of power. Verse 5, my emphasis, that your faith, children of God, pastor, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There is something that makes you a Christian, and that makes you a Christian is what? Is faith. Jesus, Thomas says, I will never believe until I see where they nail him. And while the words were still in his mouth, Jesus appeared. And he stretched out his hand. He said, Thomas, see where they name me. And Jesus said to Thomas, now you believe, but blessed are those who did not see, who were not there when I died physically, but they believe. He was referring to you and I, that we are now become into the body of Christ, not by works, not by intellectuality, not by philosophy, but by faith. It is faith that makes you a Christian. You may not understand what I'm saying. As a Christian, you must do away with woman's wisdom. We must do away with it. Let's get to the introduction. We'll run it. Look at the introduction. Give me that picture. Give me that picture or browser. Look at this picture. Please, I need a chair. Okay, while we are getting a chair, if you look at that picture very well, my brother, Uchena, please, pardon me for writing your name there. I'm very sorry. Praise God. Brauchi, I'm very sorry. But he's not the only one bearing Brauchi. Uchena, am I correct? There are others that are bearing Brauchena. Praise God. Now you can see Brauchena, you can see Brauzo. And I'm not the only one bearing Brauzo. Hallelujah. I am not the only one bearing Brauzo. There are people other who are bearing Brauzo as well. Now, if you look at that very well, you can see that only Brother Uche's hand can be of me. Am I correct? Only his hand. That means if you remove, If you remove Brother Uche's hands, it can be of me. Not by size. I agree with you. But this time around is by size. Hallelujah. Now, children of God, do you know if I remove my suit, I can pass under this place? If I remove my suit, I can pass here. You agree with me? Yes, I can pass. Should I try it? Praise God. Why are you begging on my behalf? Even if you say I should try it, I will not do it. Praise God. Praise God. So if I should pass under this place, God said I should pass. Now I have passed the place. And God spoke to, or he speaks to Brauchena. He said, Brauchena, do you see what Brother Uzo did? Brauchena will say, yes, I saw it. Give him my quickly. Brauchena, you saw what Brother Uzo did?
Yes, sir.
Now this is God speaking to you.
Yeah.
You saw what he did.
Yes,
now
sir.
God wants to speak to you. Brauche, if I call you, you say, how will you listen now?
Yes, my Lord.
How do you know it's God that is calling you?
I know the voice of my Father.
Okay. Brauche.
Yes, my Lord.
Brauche.
Yes, my Lord.
Brauche.
Yes, my Lord.
You saw what Brauche did?
Yes, sir.
I want you to do the same thing.
Ah. Sir, I can only do that by faith, but physically, I cannot.
No,
that
is not the first response. The first response you give me, that who is speaking to me?
Okay.
Who is talking to me? Because humanly looking, humanly, there is no way you can pass it.
Sure.
But God is saying, pass. So at that point in time, God expects you to take your wisdom away. How you will pass here is none of your business.
Sure.
It's none of your business.
Yes, sir.
Your own is to obey. It's to obey and what? And let me surprise you, Brauchena. Do you know that as we are coming to pass here, there are two invisible angels who you cannot see with your physical eyes. One is standing here, the other one is standing here. As we are coming, they are lifting the chair.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God. That is our God. That is our God. So we must understand that, thank you, sir. We must understand that the wisdom of men is not needed. Let's go to the introduction. Introduction, quickly. Introduction. I will read it. I've explained. He said what? Now, every believer, go on to the next one. He said the pulpit is not a stage for performance. This pulpit you see, men of God, it is not a place for performance. It is a place for what? For divine utterance. It is a place where what you do, what you say, how you do anything in the body of Christ, it must be by your divine utterance. It is unfortunate that we have taken the divine utterance, we are applying our own utterance. The pulpit is where heaven speaks, not where man's impress. We have read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 4 to 5. The strategy of our generation is that many pulpits have become platform for human intellects. It has become a place where human intellects, where there were, instead of what? The sanctuaries for divine encounter. It has become a place of philosophy. It has become a place where the doctrines of men are being preached. What is human wisdom? Human wisdom is a knowledge that originated from where? From intellects. It originated from education. Originated from experience. Originated from reasoning. And this your intellect, this your education, this your experience, and this your reasoning, take it off when you are dealing with God. God does not need it. He does not need it. We'll get to the level. It is not inherently evil. That is, this wisdom, this human wisdom, it is not inherently evil, but becomes dangerous when it replaces or overshadows the wisdom of God. Let's see James chapter 3 from verse 15 to 17. James chapter 3, 15 to 17. He said, this wisdom that I'm talking about descended not from above, but it is earthly. It is what? Sensational. It is devilish. Imagine a brother trying to do everything to stop another brother. Imagine a sister trying to do everything to stop that sister. By your own reasoning, you cannot stop the program of God. Jesus said to them, "My hour has not come." You succeeded in planning it by your wisdom, unknown to you that all things work for good for them that love God. Praise God. I say praise God. Someone know the pulpit is not for showman's case. It is not a showman case. It is not a place of oratory. It is not a place of philosophy. It is not a place of psychology. It is for declaring, thus say the Lord. The dangers of human's wisdom on the pulpits. The dangers of human's wisdom on the pulpit. One, it exhausts man and silences God. It makes the preacher the center instead of Christ. It entertains the mind but starves the spirits. It starves the spirits. It does not allow the flow of God. It does not allow God to do what he wants to do. In my former church, I remember vividly, I was asked to do something. And immediately I took up mine to do that. The Lord ministered to me with something very unique. I quickly ran to my pastor. I said, "Pastor, please, this is what the Lord is telling me to do. This is what the Lord is saying that I should do." Instead of the pastor to give me audience and allow me to do what I want to do, because for the fact that God spoke to me in that aspect, that means there is somebody the Lord wants to bless through that. But the man of God, the pastor, used his intellectuality to silence me. And at the end, people are not being revived. People are not being restored because human intellect is at play. The next one, it lacks transformation power. Human's wisdom may move emotions. It may move emotion, but only God's word transforms lives. The Bible says the word of God is too sharp. Give me that scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the weapon of God is quick and powerful." I mean, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing word even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and of a designer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is the word of God. When human's wisdom is at play, then the power of the word of God reduces. The functions of the word of God reduces, because that human's at play wants to do everything possible to ensure that his own will is at play. Meanwhile, it's supposed to be the will of God. The next point. It produces empty churches. Empty churches. Listen. Hallelujah. You can see that they have a big auditorium. A church having a big auditorium does not show that church has the word of God. It doesn't. A big auditorium does not show that what is going on there is by the wisdom of God. No. Most of them, they are applying their wisdoms in doing some certain things they do. I'm telling nothing but the fact truth. And because of this application of human's wisdom, you will see great members coming to the church, unknown to you, that with your spiritual eyes, in such place, they are dead spiritually. People hear nice speeches, but go home unchanged. It breeds shallow Christianity, where people know about God, but don't know him. They only hear about God, but they don't know God. The next point, the next one. Now, what should be on the pulpits? What should be on the pulpits? Children of God, what should be on the pulpits? The first thing that should be on the pulpits is God's pure word. The pure word of God. We live in an age, in a generation, where the true word of God has been removed. The true pure word of God has been taken away. And what people that comes to church here these days is nothing but the words that will please the hearts, that will make the heart feel good. But inside the heart, the Bible says it is as what? As dirty as whatever. Preach the Bible, not your wisdom. Preach the Bible, not your wisdom. Tell them about God, not yourself. Tell them about God, not what you have acquired by your own wisdom. The next one, the fear of God. The fear of God, the pulpit must carry a holy reverence. It must be a place of a holy reverence, not a place of pride. The preacher is a voice, not what? Not a celebrity. We live in a generation where men of God have become a celebrity. We live in a generation where the true voice of God is lacking. We live in a generation where this Sunday like this, many people have gone to church and all that the pastor is telling them is where. All that the pastor is telling them, come the way you like. All that the pastor is telling them, you can dress the way you like, do whatever you like. That is the generation we are. The fear of God is far. The next one. He said the Holy Spirit's leadership. The pulpit should be a place where the Holy Spirit is in control. Where the Holy Spirit is in charge. Not you. Not me. Take yourself out of the equation. Men of God, take yourself out of the equation and allow God to be in that. The pulpit must burn with the fire of heaven. The pulpit must be a place that is burning with the fire from above. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus, it said what? It said the altar should be what? It said the fire should not be put out from where? From the altar. It said the fire, they should burn the fire, the incense, every blessed day. So the pulpit should be a place that is burning on a daily basis. Not burning by human's idea. In conclusion, as we bring this message to the end, in conclusion, let God speak again. Praise God. Children of God, let God speak again. In this generation, God should speak again. And God can use anybody to speak again. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. The worst thing a Christian can do is to live by the flesh. That is the worst thing a Christian can do. But as we that are called children of God, we are not to walk by flesh, but to walk in what? In spirit. An ability to tame the flesh, you have overcome up to 70% of Christianity problem, or more than that. So we live in a generation that even when God is speaking, we use our emotions, we use our willingness, we use whatever you think of to shun the voice of God and allow our own voice to be heard. Let God speak again. Many, he said what? May every preacher cry like Moses in Exodus chapter 35. Let's see Exodus chapter 35. He said, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, what will happen? Carry us not what? Up hence. Where are the preacher? Where are the men of God? Where are the Christians that will say, Lord, if not your wisdom, nothing else. If not your wisdom, nothing else. If not your presence, nothing else. And Moses cried out, unless your presence go with us, we will go nowhere. Praise God. Let's see Isaiah 28, verse 8. For all tables are what? Are full of vomit and fitness, so that there is no place clean. The church of Christ, the pulpit of Christ, has become a place where different kinds of things come in play. It's a place where men of God brings a comedian to entertain the people. It's a place where they talk about business. It's a place where they talk about and trying to enrich yourself. They depriving the children of God the purpose of the cross. Let me finish that scripture, that reading. He said what? He said, voice that is what? That is not yours. He said, tear down every pulpit that exalts flesh. Raise up messengers again. Not to what? Not to... Hallelujah. Praise God. I say, praise God. I say, praise God. I say, praise God. May the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus. I say, give me this last scripture. Let me conclude with this scripture. Give me 2 Kings. Praise God. I say, praise God. I say, praise God. Give me 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 10 to 12. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 10 to 12. 2 Kings 5, 10 to 12. And what? And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in what? In Jordan. How many times? How many times? 7 times. And thy flesh shall what? Shall come up again to thee. And thou shalt be clean. This was Elisha talking to who? Naaman. Naaman was a mighty man of valor. Naaman was a mighty man of valor, as the Bible says. But Naaman had a leprosy. He was suffering from leprosy. And he was advised by a dancer. And when he was advised by a dancer, and the dancer told him, there is a prophet in the land. Go to that prophet. And when you get to where that prophet is, that prophet will tell you what to do, and you'll be healed. And when Naaman got to where Elisha told him, go to River Jordan and bow 7 times, and you will be free. Did he obey that? Did he listen to that? No, he did not listen. If you read that scripture, Naaman said to himself, before Naaman came to Elisha, he has already had his own wisdom. He has already had his own knowledge. And that is knowledge that I want to go and bow in the river of Damascus. So don't tell me to go and bow. The river Jordan is not a place for me. A place, there is another place that I am to bow. Unknown to him that that place where he is asked to go is being directed by the wisdom of God. And after much thing, Naaman has no choice than to obey. He lastly obeyed and went into that river. He dipped in 7 times and he became what? He became free. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hand. Remove your wisdom. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, ministers, let's take our wisdom away. I conclude with this story. One of our members in House Fellowship was to go through surgery. And as he was to go through surgery, then, you know, our daddy has told us, anybody that wants to go through surgery, we should try to put a call or we should try to come for prayer. And when I got to the hospital with my brethren, I asked the sister, have you come for prayer? She said, no. Have you been able to reach our daddy? She said, no. I said, why did you do that? Then I have nothing else left with me than to call daddy. I said, daddy, please, I'm very sorry for calling at this point in time. Please, pardon me. There is one of our sisters that is to go to operation tomorrow morning by 10 a.m. Please, daddy, we need your prayer. Do you know what daddy said? I'm talking about our daddy, our Pastor Moses Alo. Do you know what he said? He said, Uzo, go ahead and pray. In fact, the first thing he said was that, Uzo, you are there with some brothers, all right? He said, yes. He said, go ahead with the prayer. That was not what I was expecting. Praise God. By my wisdom, that was not what I was expecting. What was I expecting? I was expecting daddy to release prayer. But he said, go ahead and pray. You will see our God in action. Praise God. I have some brethren here that can confirm what I'm saying. So quickly we enter prayer and all that. But you know, at that point in time, I can decide there to say, since daddy refused to pray, let me call Pastor Olumide. I say, Pastor Olumide, please, I want you to pray for our sister. See, at that point, I called Pastor Olumide. I have what? I have missed it. Because God has spoken through his servant that I should go ahead and pray. So anything I try to do at that moment, it is of no use. Anything I try to do at that moment, I am on my own. Go ahead and do what you are asked to do. Remove your wisdom and allow the wisdom of God to be in play. When King Saul was waiting for Prophet Samuel, Prophet Samuel told him, go, I'm coming to be with you. And the Bible made us to understand when King Saul waited for Samuel. He waited and waited. He did not see Samuel. What did he do? He went ahead and what? And carried out the sacrifice. And at that time, he was carrying out that sacrifice. That was when Samuel arrived. He said, go. He did not tell you when you get there, do the sacrifice. He said, wait for me. I am coming. Why are Christians too highly deluded by their own wisdom? Instead of us waiting on God, we try to apply our wisdom. The Bible said, do you know because of that action, God rejected him being what? Being a king. Because he applied his wisdom. So many people that function in the pulpit have been rejected. They have been rejected all in the name of applying their own wisdom. All in the name of using their own intellectuality. We see it in every aspect of our lives. Even when I was coming to church this morning, I was battling with one. He was telling me do it. Another one was telling me don't do it. I was trying to use my wisdom. You know, at times you pick up a cloth to put on. And the Lord is saying, don't wear this cloth. He said, no, this is the cloth I want to wear. I don't know whether it has happened to you. Don't apply your wisdom at that moment. Listen carefully. You will see reason why God is telling you to do that. Wait upon the Lord. I have a friend of mine who is running a school business. And a bigger school is close to this, my friend's place. And when the owner of that bigger school came down, he saw the numbers of this, my friend's school. He went to him and said, if you want your school to be big, come and join us. Come and join us. You can see there are some pastors who started small within a month. They have boom. If they tell you the wisdom they apply to get to that level, you will bow, you will marvel. And this, my friend, do you know what happened to him? When he rejected that offer, I'm telling you what I saw. When he rejected that offer, in what? In a term, he lost 50 students. 50 students because he rejected that offer. At that point, what will you do? It's either you join them or you said, I will wait upon the Lord. Children of God, on what area are you applying human wisdom? On what area are you applying wisdom in dealing with your sister, in dealing with your brother? I beg us in the name of God, I surrender, take your earthly wisdom away. Minister, take your earthly wisdom away. Give me what is due for me, I will give you what is due for you. Let us not be ruled by our wisdom. Let us be ruled and be guided by the wisdom of God. Last scripture, James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. Last scripture, James 3, 17. What did he say? He said, but the wisdom that is from where? But the wisdom that is from above is what? Is first pure. Then what? Peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. He said, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Bow your head.
We wait on you.
Tell God, Lord, take away earthly wisdom from me.
Lord, we wait.
Take away earthly wisdom from me.
We wait on you.
Thank you, sir.
Lord, we wait on you.
In Jesus' name, we've prayed. If you've been blessed by that teaching, can you put your hands together for the Lord? Can we quickly see